think it's incumbent upon them to either retract it or give another article, present a part two that gives us the evidence. And that's my complaint about this article. And of course, the consequences are significant potentially, given, as you said, the threats from Israel. So I'm surprised by that. It raises many questions about the timing.
Yes, I'm sure we'll talk more about those questions. Let me ask Mr. Dodin, why now, just before the Lebanese parliamentary elections? And is it a way to take the finger off of Syria and point it towards Hezbollah?
Excuse me. When we ask ourselves why they send Melis and Lebanon and Lehman to Lebanon, they don't send them to find the truth. They send them to destroy the security structures in Lebanon, and that's what they have done. Now, I know exactly that nobody from the Special Tribunal for Lebanon talked to Mr. Eric Puller. What happened, he sent through another person a short email and asked if they have any information. They don't answer this. What Mr. Pollack is doing, we called it the old Goebbels school. If you repeat a lie a thousand times, so is it the truth. Here in Europe, nobody believe this story, because the main person, I speak with a lot of members of the European Parliament, and they know exactly that Mr. Hariri was one of the main allied power of Hezbollah, and he refused at all any conflict with the resistance in Lebanon. This was one of the reasons why they killed them. Now, before the election, they know that the Democratic organization will take perhaps 4 or 5 member more than the government groups now, and therefore they try now to they try to make any problem in Lebanon so that they may have an influence about the elections. I wrote to the Spiegel a letter, and I told him in September there's election in Sudan, so they may read this the archive once more, and perhaps they find that the president of Sudan have killed al-Hariri. I told you this is really the way how Goebbels, the Nazi propaganda minister, make this information.
All right, now, Mr. Dodin, please, I want to jump to Dr. Franklin. Now, Mr. Dodin mentioned the issue of a friendship, it seems, between Mr. Hariri and Nasrallah. Now, some reports were saying that there may have been differences between the two, and this is why it was something that Hezbollah might be able to do.
Yes. Well, again, we have to ask them, show us the beef. It is clear from my research and also Nick Blankford's book on the subject that from December 2004 until January 2005, Saad Hariri, Rafiq Hariri, and Hassan Nasrallah had several meetings during this period in the middle of the night. And what I've heard and learned is that Hussam al-Din, the son of Rafiq Hariri, who was killed in an automobile accident in the United States, and Hadi Nasrallah, who was killed defending Lebanon for Hezbollah, gave them a basis in commonality, and that the men actually connected in a way. Out of respect, they shared that loss, that was a bond that developed, plus they're both Lebanese nationalists. There wasn't competition, I think, because Hariri was a Sunni. He had a separate constituency, although a number of Sunnis support Hezbollah. But Nasrallah has his own constituency, so there wasn't that kind of conflict. It seems to me that the evidence is that they developed a relationship based on mutual respect and interest in resolving differences to create a stable Lebanon. Mm-hmm. So I see this a preposterous claim. Again, where's the evidence of that?
Now it's very important to mention that the spokeswoman for the Special Tribunal for Lebanon did mention that she was wondering where the Der Spiegel got this information
from. They denied it. They denied that she had any contact. He did send a couple of emails, Der Spiegel, to the tribunal, and she replied that we don't make comments on these sorts of things. This is confidential, and that we have no comment at all to
make.
But
is it possible that any information might leak in some way, or that this information from the article is used by the special tribunal in some way?
That's the big question. That's why I think the onus is now on the wall, on Der Spiegel to clarify their article and proved to the skeptics, and there are a major number of skeptics about this article, what evidence they had, if any, or to apologize. Again, it's given this timing, it was very ill-advised to present a sensationalist, flimsy article without solid proof.
Yes, absolutely. Let me jump to Mr. Dodin. Now, head Hezbollah, of course, they have denied the claims, and head of Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, has considered these accusations Israeli accusations. Of course, we have heard from the Israelis that they do fear the results of the parliamentary elections in Lebanon. Do you think that this was, that Israel was behind this article, perhaps to try and influence the elections in some way?
You know, what we found in this article, we found it if you see in the homepage of Daniel Pipes or in Memory homepage or any Zionist homepage, you will find the same propaganda. It's very necessary to know that in occupied Jerusalem in 59 King George Street, there's a government. It calls Lebanon government in exile. And this government have a home page. And on this home page, they search and wanted person in Lebanon. And the second one after the president of Lebanon was Hariri. And we know what the so-called Committee for Free Lebanon, and they are the extremist Zionists in the United States, what they wrote about Hariri. They kill Hariri because he refused a civil war in Lebanon. He want the unity of the land, and he refused any conflict with the with not only Hezbollah but with the democratic organization of Lebanon. This is, and they kill him within a strategy for a military intervention in Lebanon and in Syria, in this situation. But if we read, for example, what Dick Cheney say when he say, let us destroy the Taif agreement, and what the so-called Committee for Free Lebanon, and they are, this is means Perley, Dick Cheney, this is the same people who make the war against Iraq.
That's
and
very interesting.
Within this strategy,
yes.
Within this global strategy, they mean they want a civil war in Lebanon, and the way for this civil war was to kill a person. They mean he is you know, he's not he's
the
most important ally of the resistance, and he refused anyhow.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Dodin.
With
the
with
resistance.
Hezbollah.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Mr. Dodin. Now it's interesting. Of course, they there was allegations from Mr. Hurst.
Bob
there
Woodward.
Is a special, yes.
Bob Woodward wrote that coming out of Cheney's office was his special assassination unit that wanders around the world, not answering to anyone but the White House, and assassinates people. There has been speculation even in Washington, and I'm not making this claim today, that there may have been this sort of involvement. So again, we have to wait and see what the tribunal fines and if it can stay out of politics and give a legal opinion. But that's interesting that our guest mentions Cheney, because he seems to be all over.
Yes. What do you make of the Israeli stance towards this issue? And they're calling for an arrest of Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. And do you think that the Israelis could be behind this in some way?
Well, what's interesting is when Lieberman made that comment or dictated his statement, we were told, it was actually before the publication of the article. So one question that comes out of all this, did Lieberman have advance notice of the Der Spiegel article? Maybe Der Spiegel can answer that. But it's clear, in this very tense atmosphere and the threats, nearly daily threats from Barak, Gabi Ashkenazi, and Netanyahu, they are looking for any provocation to provoke Iran, to provoke a conflict. So I think in the context of this article, they've found a good use to put of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, let's talk a little bit about the Lebanese stance. It seems that the Lebanese politicians, I mean, all across Lebanon, dealt with this quite wisely.
They did.
Yes, what do you think? Do you think that they fear that this might lead to some kind of conflict between
I think so. Jumblatt had quite a good statement on this, and he said it was a foreign intrigue and foreign powers. And what I've learned from being in Lebanon is that the Lebanese are very sophisticated politically, and I think they see this very clearly as perhaps an external effort to provoke conflict. And you're right, the major parties have been very restrained about this. I think a lot of it is also credibility. I mean, that's a weak argument, evidentially. You know, there's not a lot in that article other than sensationalism. And so, but I do think that parties here are worried that there's still an effort to provoke a Sunni-Shia conflict. I think that's clear. And that this, to the extent that this article creates an atmosphere to foster that, I think the local people are chary of that and don't want to overreact.
Mm-hmm. Yes, let me jump back to Mr. Dodin. What you make of its possible influence on Lebanese elections and the Lebanese political spectrum?
This is not only the problem of a Lebanon election. The main strategy of the Zionist state and the Zionists in the United States is a really conflict between what they call Sunnah and Shia. If we see what they are doing in Yemen, if we know that the same Mr. Lehman who was with Meles in Lebanon now since July last year in Saudi Arabia, and he got realizing the plan for conflict and civil war. The problem is not only the election; it's the new strategy of Israel is to destroy the alliance between Iran and the Arabic people. And we must see this propaganda campaign through this strategy. The main aim now, Israel means know that the Hezbollah and the resistance, the main enemy of their strategy. And through this propaganda, they want really a great conflict in the region. And if we read what we in the Arabic media, I'm very sorry to say that a lot of people who have been used in the past for the aggression against Iraq, they use them now for the aggression against Iran.
Yes, what kind of direct effect, if I may, sir? Yes, what kind of a direct effect could this have on the Lebanese spectrum?
Excuse me. I don't believe that the people in Lebanon have learned in the last 4 years about who destroyed the security structure in Lebanon, and what's the reason? The reason is a lot of member of the Mossad who are go on in their war against Lebanon, but not the war as 2006. This is a secret war, but a very dangerous war. This is the result of the destroying of the security structure in Lebanon through Meles Lehman and those groups in Lebanon who want to believe this lie. I think they may create this lie. And I know the relation between Fadallah Ersh Fadallah and Mr. Hariri and his group. I know this old relation, and they use him for their own strategy.
Yes,
I don't believe that.
Let's jump on to the issue of the Lebanese. Yes, if I may.
Of the election.
Sorry to cut you there. Sorry to cut you there. Let me just take my question to Mr. Franklin, Dr. Franklin. How could this have an effect or influence the elections? Perhaps this not, but maybe this leads the way to other articles which may influence Lebanon in some way.
Yes, and as you point out, we've got barely over over a week. I think that the effect may, in fact, backfire. If it's designed to get votes for the March 14, it may end up helping March 8th. And it is because I think there's a sense of fair play and great experience in this country with last-minute shady campaign tactics, and I think that this might actually rebound to the in favor of the opposition.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, this how can it have? If we may go into the issue of the details of this article, they try to put some claims that Hezbollah did use had the cell phones. That this is something that perhaps the Lebanese security officers were following up, and so on. Is this a legible claim?
We who are not in the tribunal can only use as evidence what the tribunal reports, the previous reports have indicated. And this is very contradictory. First of all, Der Spiegel seems to put it in Hezbollah's hands, but earlier Meles put it with Sunnis up in Tripoli and made a finding on that. And I think as you go point by point, it's just contradictory. And again, if he saw the original document, he owed it to the public, to his readers, to be more exact and to offer more substance. And so I think there's just speculation. It's sensational. They haven't. There's been a firestorm around the globe on this, and Der Spiegel remains silent. So hopefully in the coming days they will make a clarification or an apology or a retraction.
Yes, let's jump a little bit to the U.S. They haven't made any claims on this or any comments on the Der Spiegel report, but they have declared their worry that perhaps the results of the elections might be to the favor of the opposition and Hezbollah. And we heard from U.S. Vice President Joe Biden saying that dealing or the aid to the military, the Lebanese army, will depend on the new government.
I know. I think the American government is very, very concerned, as is the Israeli government, that about the results. But I think that the Obama administration has signaled in the last couple of days that if the opposition wins, there's going to be dialogue and they're going to find a way. But you're right, over the last 12 months, there's been probably a dozen officials coming here, delegations to this week. Always with the same subliminal message, is we want March 14 to win. We want the majority. The photo op with the M60 tank. Nobody here knows how to drive one. And the Apache helicopter yet. You know, photo ops after photo op, they don't seem to be sinking in. In fact, even those may redound to the benefit, electoral benefit of the opposition, because it's too much foreign interference, it's too clumsily done, and again, I maintain that the Lebanese voters are very sophisticated and are rejecting that.
Great, yes. Mr. Dodin, one final question for you. Would you agree with analysts that say that Israel would not be able to achieve anything in this war, perhaps, against Hezbollah, since the U.S. is taking a different stance now, more diplomatic stance of dialogue towards the region?
You know, Israel know the discussion by the NATO. And the NATO, they ask themselves now, can we pay our $18 million every year for Israel if she can't go on to realize our strategy in this region? And they have a doubt. And Israel want to told those in the NATO, yes, we can do it. The main question for the Israel now, they believe we can try to destroy the resistance, we can try to destroy Hamas and Hezbollah in the next time, but it will be impossible to realize this in 1 or 2 years. And but the third reason for this action is I know that more than 32% of the citizens of the Zionist state want to leave this state, and so they want to tell them we are still strong and we are able. This is not the problem. The problem is now that the Zionist make a really agreement with some of Arabic governments, and they told them that the resistance movement in Palestine and Lebanon is a danger for those governments, and so they have to coordinate their policy together. This is the I told you, yes, the main reason they know that they can't realize their strategy if the alliance between the resistance in the Arab world and Iran will be strong and strong. And this is the main reason for the Zionist strategy. And
yes,
I say
you.
Once more, it is not the election. It is what coming after the
after
election.
After the election, yes, thank you. That's very important.
More and more the
thank
conflict.
You. So, Mr. Dodi, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut you. Quick answer from you.
Yeah.
Is it true? Do you agree with what he's saying, that it's not, it's actually the result of the election that everybody's waiting for, and that something might come up after the results of it?
Absolutely. I agree with much of what Said Duddin said from Germany. We're all waiting. We're all waiting to see what is going to happen. I just have hope that the American administration, which is trying to engage now, and we're looking to what Obama will say in Egypt next week, there will be a peaceful resolution. But I don't recall in the last period a more tense time in Lebanon and the Middle East.
Yeah, and then all right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, our time has run out. For today, I want to thank you very much, both Mr. Said Duddin in Berlin, Dr. Franklin, always a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
I want to thank our viewers for watching us. But first, let me remind you of our email. You could still send us your feedback, Mideast@PressTVBeirut.com. We are waiting for your feedback. Thank you so much for watching us here in Beirut on the Middle East today. Goodbye.
On this broadcast, Israel begins 5-day war games near Lebanon's border, where the Lebanese army is on full alert. At least 6 Palestinians have been killed in clashes between Fatah policemen and Hamas members. And Iran's president defends his government's performance as presidential hopeful Mousavi criticizes the economic situation in the country. Hello and welcome to Press TV News. I'm Saeed Puriza. Israel has started its largest ever war games near the border with Lebanon. It is the third consecutive year Israel is conducting such a military maneuver. Tel Aviv says the war games are defensive in nature, but the Lebanese army has been placed on full alert to foil a possible Israeli aggression. The Hezbollah movement has also warned Israel against any attack, saying its fighters are ready to respond. Israel's drills began in the aftermath of the 2006 war on Lebanon. The war, which revealed major weakness in Israel's military tactics, faced strong domestic criticism. The current war games follow another massive four-day exercise by the Israeli Air Force 2 weeks ago. For more thoughts on this, Tamor Goksel is a former UNIFIL senior advisor who joins me live from Beirut. Thank you for being with us. What does UNIFIL make of this new round of Israeli military drills?
Well, I can't speak for UNIFIL officially, but I know they are not very concerned about it. They've been informed about it. And look, there is a 13,000 man force, United Nations. Most of them are countries friendly to Israel, European countries. You cannot surprise them with a major attack and cause casualties to those two people. So I think UNIFIL is quite confident that there is no aggressive nature behind these maneuvers. And they have not, as far as I know, they have not taken any special measures.
Lebanon fears that this could be a prelude to another war. Do you think it is?
Look, the history is full of examples of military maneuvers being used to cover the intention of an attack. But to start a war in the Middle East, especially now, is not an easy affair. I think we are making too light of this. As I said, you have a major UN force. You have the Lebanese army in the south. And what is the pretext? What are they going to say is the cause for a major attack, which is also going to cost them plenty? I mean, the environment in the Middle East today is not suitable for such an adventure, which is a very major adventure. It's not a joke to start a war. I think we have to think a bit more seriously. Yes, but there are things to learn. Yes, Lebanon should be ready. Lebanon should be prepared. They should watch.